And we're looking at a couple different verses in the scripture today. We're actually out of an exegetical study. We normally go through a book of the Bible. And just for a few weeks here, we're actually doing a series called Bread, Water, and Wine about baptism and communion. And today I'm going to be talking to you about baptism. Last week I talked to you about redemption, which was a picture of our communion, the remembrance meal. And next week I'm going to be talking about the blood of Christ, and then we're going to be going into a summer in the Psalms and going through some of the Psalms throughout the summer months. But the title of this message today is called The Call, the Sign, and the Power of Baptism. The Call, the Sign, and the Power of Baptism. And we're looking, first of all, at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. About 120 years ago, Sweet's Corners Church met in a little building down the road here, I believe, Larry. And Hilda, I sat down with her when she was about her 100th year, and she went through and told me that Sunday was the most important day of the week. It was the time where the whole community would gather together in worship, and she still remembered her getting sat down and having her hair brushed with a special hairbrush and the whole process of going to church. And in these days, they were meeting in a church that didn't have a baptism tank. And so when new believers came into the fold, and it was January, they decided we need to baptize them. And so they took them out over to Lake Erie, and they chipped a hole into the ice, and they baptized them in Lake Erie in the middle of winter. They put them through the hole in the ice into the cold water and baptized them. And I looked at that, and I thought to myself, there is a church that understands the importance of baptism. Not saying that your baptism means nothing if you didn't get dunked through the ice into Lake Erie in the middle of winter, but they understood the urgency and the importance of this symbol and the meaning of baptism, so much so that they said, when you're saved, you are to be baptized, and we don't have a tank, so let's do this thing, and they headed over to the lake. Now, today we're going to explore three aspects of baptism, and the one is that it is a commandment. The other one is that the symbol of baptism, and then also the impact of baptism. And so first of all, if you're a note taker, make sure you take these points down. I'll have actually extra notebooks are coming next week, so we'll have those on the table. We always encourage you to take notes because then you can review and help to remember what you have been learning on Sunday mornings. But the first is that there is a commandment, and that is to be baptized. The commandment of baptism. We're looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. And this is Jesus, his instructions before he left earth and ascended into heaven, before he sent his Holy Spirit. This is what he told his disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And so Christ, having walked among us, having lived out his perfect life, died a sinless death, rose to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, ascended into heaven, these were his instructions, that we would go into all the world and that we would make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when we look at this particular passage, we realize that baptism is not a suggestion. Baptism is commanded to us. Baptism is something that God has given to us in order to see so clearly the work that has been done in redemption that we talked about last week. And so there's not a lot of rituals in the Christian life. As I said last week, we have communion and we have baptism. Those are the two rituals that are connected to the things of this earth, the water, the wine, the bread, and these are very important, and they are instructed and commanded to us very clearly. Now, when we think of this command, we often get it wrong. We think that baptism requires some level of spiritual maturity before we're baptized. We often hear people say, do you think they're ready to be baptized? And we may have thought that thought ourselves. We may have saw somebody getting baptized and thought, well, I don't think they have enough spiritual maturity yet to be baptized. But when we look at the scriptures, we have to be honest with ourselves. They were saved. The moment that they believed, they didn't have time to get any spiritual maturity. They were baptized. And when we look at scriptures, we see strong evidence that this is how God intends it to be. Let's take a quick glance through the Acts of the Apostles. We'll look at the practice of the apostles. First, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter's preaching. Holy Spirit's come. It's the day of Pentecost, and he's preaching the word of God, and people are cut to the heart when they hear the message of what Jesus Christ has done for them. And so what happens? It says that they believed and were baptized. Again, in Acts chapter 8, Philip is in Samaria, and he preaches, and it says they believed in Jesus, and they were, once again, baptized. Again, in Acts chapter 8, Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian. Remember, he's preaching to this Ethiopian ruler, this person that is high up in the kingdom, working on behalf of the queen of their land. And he's explaining to him Jesus through the Old Testament. The Ethiopian believes. He says, I believe. And then he says, and there's water. What's stopping me from getting baptized? Philip says, absolutely nothing. Let's go. And it says they went down into the water. He was baptized. We see with Ananias when he was sent to go to speak to Saul or Paul, as we know him. And it says that Saul or Paul was blind and that his sight was received. He was healed. Scales fell off his eyes. Not only that, but spiritually, his eyes were open to Jesus Christ. He believed and he got up. What was the first thing he did? He got baptized. Again, we see Paul teaching Lydia. And it says that she opened her heart and she and her household were baptized. Acts 18, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, was baptized once he believed and his whole family with him. We see the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 as well. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his household, and they were baptized after they beat up Paul and Silas. And the whole prison shook and they were released. And then there was a big baptism celebration as new life in Jesus Christ began. And so in each of these instances, we see that baptism took place at the moment of salvation. They said, okay, let's get to the water. Let's get baptized. Baptism is not a step in your faith journey. We oftentimes hear people say that, I'm going to take the next step in my faith journey, as if somehow you progress to the place of now I can be baptized and take this next step in my faith journey. You don't take a step when you're ready, but rather you are never ready. Did you know that? You're just never ready to be baptized. You're not ready for any of the things of God. I don't know if you guys have realized that, but as life happens, you're never ready for what comes next. You rely on the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God who is going to reveal to you in your baptism throughout many years to come the significance and the meaning of that day. But you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and obey, and the obedience is that you are immersed in water in baptism. It is an act of obedience that you take the moment that you're saved. Next, I want to talk to you about the symbol. So first of all, obey. If you haven't been baptized, take that step of faith, that step of obedience. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, and obey and say, I want to be baptized. Why? Because scripture tells me that this is important. Well, why is it important? Romans chapter 6 in verse 3 says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now, as I'm saying these words, some of you may rightly think, well, Wes, he's not actually talking about water baptism there. And you would be right. And embarrassingly enough, when I preached through Romans, I actually thought, well, we're having baptisms coming up. And so perfect timing. I'm going to preach on water baptism. And I thought this was talking about water baptism. But I look at this and I thought, how could I make that mistake? Some of you might say, well, it's obvious. It says the word baptism. So obviously it's talking about water baptism. But did you know that the word baptism in the Greek, it doesn't always mean water baptism. It means to dip or to immerse. And this is actually speaking about your salvation experience and being immersed into the life of Christ, immersed into his death, and then raised up with his resurrection. And so the reason why your pastor could be mistaken on this particular passage is a very honest mistake. And it is this. It is because when you look at the practice of water baptism, When you look at the sacrament or the ritual baptism that we practice, it so closely aligns with the experience of salvation and what happens when we die and are raised up in Christ Jesus. It so closely aligns that it's sometimes hard to tell the difference between the two in the scriptures. And when we look at this passage, we need to realize that this perfectly shows us what happens or what has happened and what's being symbolized in your baptism. What we see in baptism is that the death of Jesus Christ is shown as you're going into the water. You have died to yourself. You have in Christ experienced his death through his burial, and you are being buried in the water of baptism. And in his resurrection, we see here that as you are raised up from the water, you've come up to new life in Christ. And so you are deeply connecting with the work of Jesus Christ through his death and through his resurrection in baptism. Now, there's times in your Christian life, I don't know about you, but there's times where I don't feel very dead to sin. You ever have those days? It's just like you feel like, man, I don't feel like I'm dead to sin today. I feel like I'm very alive to sin. But here's the amazing thing about baptism. When you've been baptized, you can point back to your baptism and you can say that baptism speaks something to me. In that baptism, there's that symbolizing that I truly am dead to sin. I'm dead. The old me that was no longer exists. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a new person. You see, you don't bury an alive person. Did you know this was once a fear at one time? People had a lot of fears in history about this. And you'll see this in different cemeteries around the world. You'll see evidences of this. They had this system where they had a string going down into the ground, came up through the stone or through the concrete, and the string would be attached to a bell. Sometimes they even had breathing tubes going down into the casket. People had this deep fear. Why? Because there was this urban legend, and there's some scratches on insides of coffins to tell that this actually happened, and that is that some people actually did, in throughout history, get buried alive. What a terrible thought, eh? And so they would say, okay, you know what? For the minor inconvenience and extra cost, I think I'll have the bell installed just in case I wake up and find out that my family decided to put me in the ground a little early. I made arrangements, and therefore I'll wake up and I'll ring the bell. So if you're ever walking through a cemetery late at night and you see your bell was ringing, you'll know what to do. You don't bury alive people. Here's the good news. When you go through the waters of baptism, you've died. That old man is dead. That old sinful nature is being buried, and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when you look at those days where you're just like, I don't feel very dead to sin, you can remember the words of Paul when he says in Romans 6:2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And the enemy can say, well, you're not dead to sin. You sinned yesterday, or you're tempted to sin. And you can say to the enemy, you can say to Satan when he tries to distract you with those thoughts, you can say, I was buried with Christ Jesus. I am now dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so the symbolism of baptism are powerful. This is why it's also very important that we practice the biblical standard of baptism, and that is that we do it according to the word of God. What does that mean for us? It means that we immerse. I mean, if you look at the word baptism itself, you can't get the word sprinkle from that. The word baptizo is actually the word to dip or to immerse. And when we look at the scripture, it is quite clear. Matthew 3:6, John the baptizer is out baptizing where? It says in the Jordan. Verse 16, it says that Jesus, when he was baptized, he came up immediately out of the water. He didn't, it's not the water sprinkled on his head. He came up out of the water. It seems pretty clear. Also, John 3:23. Now, John also was baptizing near Salem. Why was he baptizing there? Because it says there was much water. And so if sprinkling was our method, you wouldn't need much water. You just need a little bit of water to sprinkle. Once again, Acts 8:38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Once again, the Ethiopian. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. or baptized him there. And so the symbolism of baptism is so powerful. You've died. You no longer live the old self, the old sinful nature. You have been connected to the death of Jesus Christ and his burial. You have now been resurrected to new life in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And third, I want to talk to you about the impact of baptism. Now, if salvation is by faith through grace, then why did Jesus give us baptism? Why did he add anything to the process? Why would he require a ritual to act out our faith? I can tell you from experience that baptism has real-world implications. There's something powerful about baptism. When I was baptized as a teen, I remember clearly that there's so much meaning, and there's so much looking back at that. I realize that that connects me intimately to the work of Jesus Christ when I put my faith in him as my Savior. And so the other thing is, about 10 years ago, when we were having youth group here, we had a whole lot of kids coming from the community. A lot of them didn't know Jesus. The parents were cool with it. They were like, yeah, we don't mind our kids coming out. They would announce our youth group on the school announcement at one of the local grade schools. They'd say, Sweets Youth this week is doing, such and such after the group. Come prepared for like messy activity, or whatever we were doing that night. And they would announce it on the school announcements. And we had all these kids coming out from the community. But then I made a big mistake. I preached and I told the kids about something important called baptism. I tell you, we lost kids like crazy the week after. All kinds of parents, they're like, okay, that's where we draw the line. We're okay with our kids memorizing scripture, quoting scripture around our house. I guess they were fine with that. They were okay up to the point with, the kids coming and singing songs to this person named Jesus who claimed to be God. They were okay with that. But they drew the line when they heard that their kids may be interested in getting baptized. That was like, okay, this is too much. Baptism is powerful. I tell you, there's spiritual warfare involved in baptism. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, he says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's through baptism that you align yourself with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And where you're making that public profession that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're saying to the world, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. My life is to be found in him. If you're looking for the old me, you're looking in the wrong place. He is buried. He is gone. He is dead. I was lost in trespasses and sins. I was far from God, but I was buried with Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. And now I live a new life in Jesus Christ. I've had people in the past, they ask me to rebaptize. And I struggle with that. I've done some rebaptisms for various reasons. But one of the things I struggle with is when people ask me and say, I want to be baptized again because I didn't fully understand when I was first baptized. And I want to emphasize again, you'll never fully understand. On this side of eternity, you will learn for the rest of your life the deep meaning, the profound importance and the meaning of this bringing, you're going through the waters of death through Jesus Christ, being buried in Christ and coming up to resurrection life. It will take you the rest of your life to fully understand. And until you get to heaven, you aren't going to completely understand your baptism. And so, yes, today you might learn a thing or two and say, I didn't know what I did when I was a teenager. But now you can look back to the fact that when you were a teenager, you did trust in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in him. And because of that, you walked in obedience. And in obedience, you did this thing that you maybe didn't completely understand. Maybe you even had some wrong misunderstandings on what baptism meant. Maybe since then, you wandered away from God for a time. But I tell you what, you don't need to be rebaptized if you have been believer baptized, meaning that you have been immersed because you've put your trust in Christ, and now you're looking to him, and you went through baptism trusting that in the work of Jesus Christ. Baptism has a profound impact on us. We are not the same person who went into the water. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So baptism reminds us that our death with Christ changes everything. Did you know it also changes your physical relationship with death? At one time, the Bible tells us, I think it's in Hebrews, where it says they were all their lifetime afraid to death of death. When you are in Jesus Christ, when you've put your faith in him and you've gone through the water of baptism, now when you look at death, you see it in a new light because you have died to self. You are living the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And because you've connected to the work of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he paid the price. And because Jesus paid the price, you don't need to be afraid of death. We still have the unknown. I mean, nobody sits here today and says, yeah, I'm good with dying. I mean, no, we all would like to delay that day. I mean, Apostle Paul, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He saw his future death coming soon, and he was prepared for that time. I've talked to some of our seniors in our church. I always remember talking to Hilda, and she just say, I don't know why I'm still here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be with Jesus. I think that as a saint, as you get closer to that day, you hear those words coming out of people's mouths. They're just like, I lived a full life. I love Jesus. I'm ready to see my Lord. But for many of us, we don't want to die. But here's the thing. We don't need to be afraid of death. Why? Because death has lost its sting. Death no longer has its victory. Baptism is a witness to your transformation. I think this is why my kids, when they thought of baptism, they often said, is there baptism today? Are people going to be baptized? They related it to being washed. And I know that in 1 Peter, you know, he says it's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh. And so I'm encouraging you, when we do baptisms, please shower the morning of, because it isn't your bath, right? But there is a sense in which we understand that we now are continually being washed with the water of God's word. And after you're baptized, you have that realization that just as you went through the water and came up and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, each time you go to the Word of God, there's a washing that happens. And so baptism gives new meaning to reading Scripture. It gives new meaning and understanding to how God continues to cleanse you and sanctify you. And that when you do sin, you know it's been washed. It's been washed through the water of baptism. It's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you're being washed through the word of God as well. We see this throughout the Old Testament, the symbolism of washing of water. We see it in the ritualistic cleansing of those who had skin conditions, who came to the priest and needed to be washed and cleansed of whatever that impurity was. We see it with in the Old Testament with the wash basin in the tabernacle and how they called for donations and they received this bronze, which was donated by the women. It was actually their mirrors in those days. They had polished bronze mirrors. So it was bronze in its purest form. And so when they created the wash basin in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, the place of washing, it was reflective. And so there was this understanding that there is this cleansing that's happening as the priests would wash themselves and prepare themselves to come into God's presence. And the beautiful thing is, as you continue in God's truth, as you continue in his word, as you're obedient to him, as you're allowing the meaning of baptism to constantly define your life, as you go forward from that point into growing and transforming and realizing the impact and the power of that important obedience to Jesus in baptism, you will see transformation change, and you'll see it in the mirror of God's word. You'll see yourself becoming more like Jesus Christ. You'll say, this year, I am more like Jesus than I was last year. I'm growing in grace. I'm growing in faith, and I'm becoming more like my Savior. So now you know the command, the symbolism, the impact. And some of you right now are battling in your thoughts. You're already coming up for reasons why this isn't for you. You're already coming up with, well, you know, some of you been there. Some of you waited years and years, and you knew in your heart, you knew in your mind, you knew from scriptures this was the thing to do. But for some reason, there was this putting off in obedience. And you look back and you're like, why didn't I just do this? The scripture says it so clearly. Why didn't I walk out in obedience and say, I want to be baptized? You know, we're waiting for you. We have the pool ready at my place. We have a baptism tank. Our board invested our finances of the church in making sure that we always have this tank that can be set up anytime. And we can say, okay, you want to be baptized? Call us up, talk to an elder, and we will fill that tank and we'll baptize you right here. And so, yeah, if you want to be baptized, we can have that tank filled next week. Man, we could fill it tonight before our AGM if you want. Talk to us after the service and just let us know what works out best for you, and we will baptize you. If you want to come to the farm, to our pool party, be baptized there, just don't put it off. Don't delay. Be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Jesus went to the cross for you. He died. He rose again. He gave you his spirit. Why would you not want to take this amazing symbol, this amazing sacrament that he has blessed you with, and say, yes, Jesus, I trust in you, and now I want to be baptized? We're in a spiritual battle, and there's a reason that right now you have excuses going through your heart and mind. And I ask that you struggle with those and you deal with those and you allow scripture to dictate what you do, not your reasoning, not all the things that, you know, some of you might be struggling with, even going back to your past and saying, well, if I have believer baptism, then isn't that going to be offensive to somebody in my life who thought that maybe a christening or something that I did as a child, and say, oh, now you're saying what I did isn't important? Those are the struggles that you got to face when you actually look at what scripture instructs you to do. And I encourage you, wrestle with those things, deal with those things, and then come to God and say, you know, God, I want to act in obedience and I want to follow the truth of your word.